Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Well, the news of the day is Thomas Edward Patrick Brady is currently operating under the belief that he will enter free agency to play somewhere other than New England next season. The sentiment the quarterback has shared with others, per ESPN's Jeff Darlington. And while Brady, again, this is from an ESPN report, has eyes very clearly on free agency, there is still belief in his circles that the Patriots will have their opportunity to convince Brady to stay. But at this point, Brady is evaluating the NFL landscape with the intention of departing, sources said. So the question becomes, do you believe it? Will Tom Brady walk out that door? And the answer is, I don't believe he wants to, and when you don't want to, you usually don't. There's a litany of reasons why I don't think he's leaving. The first is that Tom Brady doesn't have to make a decision based upon money. Do I think he wants to be paid more money for more years? Yes, because money in this instance and in professional sports, a lot of times, equates to respect. He wants some respect. But you're not going to make a decision over money. Smart people don't make decisions based upon that bottom line. Especially smart, super, 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 super rich people. You make smart decisions because it's the right decision. Now, maybe one of these teams become a better working environment for him. Maybe he thinks they have a better chance of winning. Maybe he needs a change in his life of where he's living and he doesn't want to play and live in the cold in New England. All of that, but the idea of making the decision because of money strikes me as a non-Tom Brady type decision, right? He doesn't have to. He doesn't need to. It's simply about respect, but you can get respect other ways other than just money. Is it about winning? I'm not sure if you thought the Patriots were any good this year. They still won 12 games. Which, by the way, all of these teams that are being considered, Tampa, the Chargers, the Raiders, even the Titans who beat New England in New England did not win 12 games this season. So we can sit here and talk about how bad his weapons were, forgetting the fact they had Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon and had to jettison both. But the fact is that Tom Brady's brand is not just about longevity, it's about longevity of success. And if it's about feelings, which feels like that's what this is about, you don't announce to the world, I'm leaving. I swear I'm leaving. I'm walking out this door. Unless you want somebody to come running back to you. Right? I mean, it was one of the first things I learned in marriage. This is a true story I'm about to share with you. Okay. I got married, I would say, super young by modern standards. We were just out of college. I was 24. My wife was 22. And we got married. And almost immediately, I went to work and playing professional basketball. It took us all over the place. End up playing most of the season in Perm, Russia in 2001. I left in January. She left later that month. We didn't come back until mid-June. We come back in mid-June, won the Russian championship. I went immediately to the L.A. Lakers summer league team. And when I got back, we got an apartment in Stillwater, Oklahoma, where I went to school at Oklahoma State. Matter of fact, it was actually one apartment door over from the apartment I had lived in during my senior year. It was up above the sushi house on Main Street. And I went about like, look, my day was I would fill in radio in Oklahoma City in the afternoon for a guy named Jim Traber. So I get up, And I'd work out in the morning, lifting weights at Oklahoma State. Then I'd go to Oklahoma City, and I'd do radio. And then I'd play basketball sometime at night, whether it was on campus or in Oklahoma City, come home, have a meal. And one of the last things I said to my bride, who we had lived together, but we had lived always somewhere, you know, that somebody else had set up. Hey, can you set up the cable? No problem. What do you want? Basic cable, right? We don't need any of the bells and whistles. This is before On Demand and some of these awesome HBO shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Before Billions came on Showtime, before Homeland. I love Homeland. There's a new season of Homeland, regardless of which. So I come home after a hard day of slopping it out, lifting weights, playing basketball, talking on the radio, and I flip on to watch a ball game, and there's no ESPN. This is, of course, before Fox Sports 1 existed. And I said, hey, hun, there's like six channels on here, none of which have sports. And she realized that she had done exactly what I had asked her to do, which was, hey, can you get basic cable? Unbeknownst to me, there was apparently a level of cable that was so basic it didn't actually include cable channels. Did you guys know that happened? That could happen? I didn't. I always thought like basic included the basic sports tier. It was like our first true fight in the States. And she said, don't talk to me. I can't believe you'd be so rude. And she walked up the stairs and she went to the bathroom and I think she took a bath. I didn't follow her. I was like, okay. I'm sitting there watching my non-sports TV, miserable, grumbling. I can't believe this sports. We don't know no T-sports on TV. An hour later, she comes down in tears. Can't believe you didn't come up and talk to me. And I looked around at my imaginary friend, Bill. You guys have imaginary friends? You ever talk to yourself? And I said, Bill, didn't she say to not come upstairs to not talk to her? Right? That she was mad. When people are emotional, when people want your attention, when people want the attention of their bosses, they announce that they're leaving. Right? Like when I go to a party, what is it called? The Italian exit, right? Is that what it's called? Where you just dip out the back? That's what I do. I do the Italian exit. Like I don't want, I hate that side face kiss thing. Oh, it's so good to see you. I despise that side kiss thing. It wasn't like, look, if we haven't talked leading up to the party, if we didn't talk during the party, it sure as hell wasn't that great that I had to say goodbye to you. Like I'm out. But people that want attention stop along the way and say goodbye. Hey, I'm leaving. Hi, everybody. I'm leaving. Hey, Jim, I just wanted to say great party. The hummus was amazing. Do you go hummus or do you go hummus? What do you do? It's incredible. Did your wife make that? No, it's Sabra. Oh, it's fantastic. And they say goodbye to everybody when they're walking out the door. People that want attention, don't leave. Right? They say I'm leaving. Tom Brady, he's up. Hey, he's leaving. No, he's leaving. No, this time he's leaving. You have to operate under the assumption that Tom Brady is going to make a decision based upon money, which he does not need, and based upon some sort of feeling factor, because if it's about wins and losses, he won more in New England without good players around him. You can't tell me it's a smart decision for Brady to leave the Patriots. There's not an offense coordinator he's worked with. There's not a locked up cinch team that's a better team than the Patriots, nor in as bad a division as the Patriots are in. Nor will he play for as good a coach or have the relationship he has with Josh McDaniels. And whatever nominal amount he'll make more in money, he's made so much, the decision shouldn't be about money. I listened to him say, I'm leaving, I'm walking out. Hey, who's going to come drag me back in? That's Brady saying he doesn't want to go. Otherwise, there would be no leak story. It would just happen, and it would be done, and we'd be left to pick up the pieces.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
A source close to the old staff, not the new staff, the old staff, said that they were so frustrated at Dwayne Haskins' inability to not just learn and retain the playbook, but to get the plays out, that they want to know if he was dyslexic. They're like, maybe he can't. Because, and this is what happens when you say dyslexic to people who don't actually know what dyslexia is. You know, dyslexia is a learning disability. It doesn't mean that you're disabled. Doesn't mean that you're not intelligent. I think, was Einstein dyslexic? Like, you go back and you Google search, if you will, Ryan, all of the famous and important and actually brilliant people who are dyslexic. Dwayne Haskins scored a 25 in his Wonderlic. That's higher than Richard Sherman, higher than Pat Mahomes, higher than Tim Tebow, higher than Teddy Bridgewater, higher than Kyler Murray. Their deal was like, okay, the Wonderlic is 25. He's a normal kid. Like, there's nothing. Why can't he retain our playbook? And in fairness, we know that that staff did not want Dwayne Haskins. It's been well documented. They weren't in on it, so maybe they were looking for things to pick out. What happens when you tweet that they thought he was dyslexic? Why would you question his intelligence? Dyslexia has no, there's no correlation between dyslexia and intelligence. Dyslexia is a, Albert Einstein was dyslexic. Okay. Making my point. Thank you very much. Like, it's one of the things you learn when you find out your kid is dyslexic. Like, I have three kids. I'm not going to say, like, Mike, everybody has kids with issues, right? Thomas Edison. But Thomas, Benjamin Franklin credited with electricity, or is Thomas Edison credited with electricity? Didn't Ben Franklin do the light bulb? Or did Ben Franklin involve the light bulb, but Edison did electricity? I think that's what happened. Look that one up too. But, you know, problem is that people are, honestly, they're just looking for you to say something that says, well, he's dumb. Oh, and he's African-American, so you're making a racist statement. Like, no, Tim Tebow was a dumb white quarterback. There's been plenty of dumb white quarterbacks. There's been brilliant black quarterbacks and dumb black quarterbacks and brilliant white quarterbacks and dumb black quarterbacks. Like, it doesn't, like, we're, honestly, the NFL is so past that. It just is. I actually didn't say he was dumb. I said that the previous staff couldn't figure out why he couldn't call a play the way it was supposed to be called. So they're like, maybe he's dyslexic. Maybe he's looking at something and seeing it, and it gets jumbled in his brain, because that's what happens when you're dyslexic. Turns out he's not dyslexic. They questioned his work ethic. Maybe he wasn't working hard because they couldn't figure it out, because, again, they actually thought and still think he's actually kind of smart. This was Doug Williams on SiriusXM. Okay, Doug Williams is a former quarterback of the Washington Redskins. Won Super Bowl, of course, famously asked, how long have you been a black quarterback, right? At the Super Bowl. Here's Doug Williams.
I tell him all the time, I'm not your coach. I just try to tell him what he has to do to get him out of that mentality that I can just gallivant all over the place on the off season, when really you need to be here trying to find out what I need to do for the season.
In other words, Doug Williams saying that dude isn't working hard enough. That's, by the way, a black quarterback calling out another black quarterback, trying to be a father figure to him. Just like, hey, just giving you the heads up here, bro. Giving the heads up. You can't be, none of that stuff. It's like the Baker Mayfield stuff. Like, now Baker Mayfield's like, I need to lose weight. I need to get my diet. And to anybody who thinks we're only critical of the black quarterback that makes the dumb decision, like, we've called out basically the intelligence of Baker Mayfield in some of the decisions that he's made. Okay, we're past that. No one gets ripped more than Baker Mayfield. I also love the Jalen Hurts thing, right? Like, oh, Jalen Hurts, you shouldn't ever think about switching positions. Like, worked out for Julian Edelman. You know? Antoine Randle-El. Cordell Stewart was slashed, did a little bit of everything. And I actually don't think in Jalen Hurts' issue, it's at all football intelligence. He just He holds the ball way too long in terms of progressions. He's a great runner. He's not a great progression thrower. He is not nearly as instinctual as Lamar Jackson, but whatever. I don't even care what the Redskins say. And I'm not calling them liars because I actually think they're being way too honest here. You have a quarterback who was drafted by a previous staff in a previous regime, and the previous staff and previous regime, however fair they were to him, called out his inability to know the playbook. Plenty of people evaluated him and wondered, one, if he was ready to play, and two, actually, you know what's been called out the most with Dwayne Haskins? His level of athleticism. Like, it's true. Right? Daniel Jones is a more athletic quarterback than Dwayne Haskins. He is. That's how they were evaluated. That's how they play. That's how the whole stereotype thing is so dumb. And that's how the NFL views it. The NFL is past stereotypes. Can you win games? Can you lead our franchise? Can you keep me gainfully employed? That's all anybody cares about. Josh Allen, more athletic than Dwayne Haskins. He's actually pretty smart, struggled to know the playbook, and it turns out it must be, if Doug Williams is saying, hey, dude, got to stop gallivanting around, he's saying, you got to lock in. Because that's got to be the reason that you're not improving or you weren't ready to go day one. Maybe it was that the previous staff didn't want to help him prepare. But I love when people take a term that they clearly don't understand and they put it with an African-American quarterback and assume you're saying something that has never been uttered. Never been uttered. It's actually the opposite. Saying somebody is dyslexic is actually the opposite of saying they're not intelligent. It's saying we can't even we don't know how intelligent you are because your brain is maybe, if you are dyslexic, is processing things in a jumbled fashion, which struggles for you, which makes it a struggle for you to get out just how smart you are. It's the same thing with like anxiety. Like if you have severe anxiety, it doesn't mean you're dumb. Just means you're so anxious, oftentimes your own intelligence. ADD, ADHD, all these other things that your kids could be evaluated for. Even if they're autistic, being autistic does not mean that a kid is dumb. It just means their brain works and operates differently and they can hyper-focus on things. But especially Twitter wants so badly to have their Twitter torches out and chase down the bad people that say the bad things, instead of giving you context to why the Redskins, 9-10 months into a relationship with Dwayne Haskins, may be looking for another quarterback.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
We're doing this thing about Philip Rivers, and I get it because we're sort of doing it with Tom Brady, only we're doing it to a lesser extent, right? Like there's supposedly interest from Oakland, although now you're hearing John Gruden saying, Derek Carr, love that guy, want to coach that guy, right? We're doing it, obviously, Bruce Arians. Hey, you know, two quarterbacks out there, if I get my hands on Brady and Rivers. Did I mention that I love Philip Rivers? That was mentioned, wasn't it? Elijah, I mentioned that? Ramos, I mentioned that? Okay. And I know I've told Ryan Music that before. We're doing this thing, though, with Philip Rivers. And maybe it's because Brady won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Maybe it's because, you know, Breeze has gotten his team as far as he's gotten his team. Maybe it's because we assume that Ben Roethlisberger will be good as new when he comes off of Tommy John surgery. But Philip Rivers is much closer to being washed than he is to being the superstar quarterback, right? Like, if the question about Brady, what could he do if he had playmakers? Think about what Philip Rivers has with the Chargers. Now, he didn't have Melvin Gordon, and Melvin Gordon wasn't right for a good portion of the season. That said, he had Hunter Henry most of this year. He had Mike Williams all of this year. He had Keenan Allen all of this year. He had Austin Eckler all of this year. That is as good a group of skill position guys you're going to have in the NFL. And he was awful. And this, again, is from the voice of a guy who loves Philip Rivers. I mean, we're best friends, aren't we? And that's a joke that we have here on the show, because anytime we've gone to Charger camp, which is over the last 3 years, and you get the chance to interview Philip Rivers, he makes you feel like he's your best friend. Doesn't he? He does. So I sit here and say to myself, he was bad last year. I could quote chapter and verse of the games. You know, the year before, the reason that they didn't have the number one seed in the playoffs was because they're playing the Denver Broncos at home, and he screwed up, and instead of taking a sack late, he threw the ball into the ground, which stopped the clock, which allowed the Denver Broncos to get the ball back, and a bad Denver Broncos team beat them in L.A. And if we want to sit there and go, well, you know, they've played 16 road games, which is true. They have played 16 road games the last 2 years. 16. But it doesn't take away from the fact that the Chargers were 5-11 this year. And Philip Rivers was bad, dude. He threw 20 interceptions. 20. This while having Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry and Dontrell Inman. Like, they had dudes. He's the opposite of what Tom Brady had. And he had a terrible year. So you're expecting him to go to a new team, a new system, maybe in Indianapolis, who also doesn't have these skill position guys, and just make plays? Like, I don't get it. They lost. They're marching down the field the second game of the year, playing against the Detroit Lions, who are not a good team. And all he's got to do is check down Charlie, and they kick a field goal. He throws the end zone, throws the interception. The next week, they take on the Houston Texans in their building. They're up 17-7 at halftime. 17-7. They scored 3 points in the second half. You know, they lost to the Steelers, the Broncos. They lost to the Raiders. They didn't lose to the best teams. They lost to the Broncos twice and the Raiders twice. Sure, the Chiefs beat them. Chiefs beat everybody. That's why they're Super Bowl champions. We're doing this thing about Philip Rivers, and he's not the same Philip Rivers. And operating as if playing in a dome and playing with Frank Reich is going to eliminate 5 years off of his quarterback odometer, I think is a massive mistake.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's Ben Volen, Boston Globe NFL insider. All right, so help me out here. The Patriots are trying to say, like, well, the reason we haven't called is because, you know, we don't have a new CBA. So if we knew the new CBA, we know how much we could offer you. Do you buy that?
Well, that was what I was told earlier this week. Like, someone casually mentioned that Bill just wouldn't think it would make sense to start talking about contract when he doesn't know what the rules are going to be. And we still don't. I mean, even though it looks like the CBA is, you know, right up on the goal line and just needs to get pushed over. I mean, what if the players vote it down, and then all of a sudden we're going back to the old rules? And it matters because, you know, which CBA you're operating on under, because there are a lot more tools that would be available for Belichick under a new one. It would be much more difficult to get a contract for Brady under the old CBA. So, like, that stuff does matter. And you also have to consider Belichick has, like, been on vacation and stuff. He was in the Virgin Islands, and he's been in Nashville, where his girlfriend lives and is from. And he didn't get to the combine until last night. So, you know, I think
Ben,
either side.
Ben,
I don't think either
Ben,
side feels.
Ben.
I don't think either side feels like, you know, it's like imminent. Like, it needs to get done
no,
right
no,
now.
I understand, but, like, we're in 2020. Everyone, children have cell phones, right? I mean, and if you had a girlfriend who didn't think you're paying enough attention to her, every once in a while you would send her a text, "Hey, thinking about you." Wouldn't you?
I mean, I guess it's obviously you know, a unique situation with Tom Brady right now. And Bill Belichick said an interesting quote, you know, right after the season ended. He's like, "It's not just up to me, and it's probably not just up to Tom. Like, it's up to Robert Kraft as well, and who else? You know, who knows who else is going to be involved in it?" And you know, this is how the Patriots operate too. Like I remember a few years ago, Devin McCourty was out the door about to sign on the dotted line with the New York Giants. Hadn't heard from the Patriots. Had no idea if they were going to, you know, what was going to happen. He figured, well, I guess they don't want me, and I'm going to go to the Giants. And then boom, 11th hour, Patriots call up, come back with a massive offer over the top, a record setting offer. And Devin McCourty stays with the Patriots. So that's how they operate here. Like I don't think Belichick wants to talk to Brady before the combine, because that's everyone in Indianapolis is going to be chattering away about it, and Belichick doesn't want the team's business out there. So I think they just don't see it as, you know, pertinent to get a deal done ASAP. They've got 3 weeks to figure this thing out. I don't know if they will. My gut says he comes back. You know, I can't. But you have to account for the very real possibility that Brady leaves. But I mean, there's still plenty of time for them to come to an agreement. And I do believe that Belichick wants to know what the CBA is, you know, before figuring out what he wants to pay Brady and how he wants to do it.
Do you think he plays for the Patriots next year?
Again, I still do. My gut says he comes back. I think a lot of this is posturing. There's been like a cascade, a waterfall of reports today saying Brady's unhappy and Brady's meeting with all these teams. And obviously someone from the Brady camp wants it out there that, trying to light a fire under the Patriots a little bit. From the get-go, I've said I think Brady will, flirt with a lot of teams, but ultimately Robert Kraft will step up in the end and will make sure that Brady doesn't leave. So it's hard to stick to it when you see all these negative reports, but I'm sticking to it. And I do still think that it's in everyone's best interest, Brady and the team, for him to come back.
Yeah, look, I think it's fascinating because it's one of those, when I hear the reports, it's the, I'm leaving. It's like he wants to get everybody's attention instead of, if you're really leaving, then you quietly go out the back door when nobody's paying attention.
Exactly. And you know, when negotiations become public, you have to wonder like, okay, what's really going on here? Because negotiations very rarely, serious negotiations don't get public. And yes, I think it's someone on Brady's end trying to get the Patriots to come to the table, make them a little bit nervous, plant the idea in their head that, hey, we're going to leave. We've got options, and he will have options. I mean, I think the Raiders, the Chargers, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks should have a bullseye on them. I think that's a very intriguing option for Brady and for the team. But it does seem like this is posturing from Brady and someone in his camp, and that they're trying to just get the Patriots to, be a little nervous and maybe come to the table a little bit sooner than the Patriots want to.
Ben Volen joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Phillip Rivers to Indy, how real is that?
I mean, I've heard the rumors like everyone else. I don't think so. I mean, if I'm the Colts, why would you turn to a 38-year-old guy who might be washed up and isn't very mobile, and the Chargers didn't want him? Like, I know Frank Reich coached him in San Diego, but, I think Rivers might be closer to having to retire this year than – I just don't see the Colts as the answer. They have their veteran quarterback in Jacoby Brissett. What they really need to do is go draft a kid and find someone who's going to be the real answer, because I'm not sure if it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. So I just don't see how Rivers makes sense for most of these teams, because it's not like he's coming off a good season and he's not mobile and he's almost 40 years old, and I just – Why would a team want to, insert that guy as their starting quarterback? I just don't see it.
I agree with you. I'm a Rivers fan, and he felt washed up last year.
Yeah, it was a terrible season, and you never know with the Chargers. I mean, that organization always has major issues. And I know he's got good receivers, but, I don't know about the entire team around them. And, I think they had some tough injuries last year as well, but again, yeah, if the Chargers didn't want him, why would another team – and the Chargers know him best, of course, and he's meant so much to that franchise. I just think teams that need a quarterback, you'd much rather draft a kid than sign a 38-year-old who might be washed up.
I'm completely and totally with you. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Ben Volen. All right, so what happens with Jameis Winston?
The Bucs are definitely in a holding pattern too. I think they would be happy to bring him back, but I think they badly want Tom Brady. And if Brady becomes available, I think they will toss Winston aside and go get Brady. But assuming Brady does go back to New England, I think Jameis goes back for another run in Tampa Bay. He did enough good that, whether it's the franchise tag or you sign him to like a 2-year deal or something like that, and he's only 26. I mean, these quarterbacks now, they don't really hit their stride until 29, 30 years old. the game, that's when it really starts slowing down for them. The interceptions were terrible, and I mean, the for Bruce Arians just to be so public about how much he hated Jameis's interceptions and how many dumb mistakes he was making last year, you can tell that Arians was really fed up with it. But Jameis also did throw for 5,000 yards and 30-plus touchdowns, so he's definitely got talent. And so I think if assuming Brady doesn't go to Tampa, then it's, you know, Jameis will be back. And I think it's probably right to give him another chance because he's still only 26 years old and still has a lot of room to grow.
Yeah. What do you make of what you're hearing out of D.C., where they're saying nice things about Dwayne Haskins, but they still want to kick the tires on Tua and Joe Burrow?
Yeah. You know, Belichick does that a lot, too, where he'll – a lot of it is just to, like, you know, update their files on the kid because they know they're going to play him in the fall or whatever. You know, they just – they want to meet him. They want to get to know him just for their files, not necessarily because they're going to draft him. I would be surprised if they moved on from Dwayne Haskins. I know the owner in Washington really likes Haskins. Dating back to Haskins went to the same high school as the owner's son there. And for Dan Snyder, those things, I think, do matter. And so, you know, 1 year after using a first-round pick, I would be very surprised. And what I don't think he was – it's not like a Josh Rosen situation in Arizona where you definitely – you know, I guess with the number two pick, they could get Tua. But, you know, for the Cardinals last year when they dumped Rosen and got Kyler Murray, that was a pretty unique situation. And, you know, maybe if Washington had the number one pick and had Burrow lined up, you know, maybe that's one thing. But I don't think they're going to be moving on from Dwayne Haskins. And to me, this is just Ron Rivera and his staff just – you know, wanting to look at a couple of new quarterbacks and just meeting them and updating their files.
Let's go back to the Patriots. One of the sticking points has been apparently not just money and years, but in surrounding talent. Now, I've tried to defend Belichick and say, hey, look, they couldn't keep Antonio Brown, but they did get Antonio Brown. They couldn't keep Josh Gordon, but they did get Josh Gordon. And, you know, they traded for Mohamed Sanu, who looked either lost or washed up, but it wasn't for lack of trying. Who are they going to try for? Like, what is a legitimate, who is a legitimate potential option for the Patriots for Tom Brady to throw to if he returns next season?
Well, what's funny is the three guys you mentioned, Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, and Mohamed Sanu, those were three desperation moves that the Patriots made because they did such a poor job of putting talent around Brady during the spring in the free agency period. And so they had to go get a guy like Josh Gordon, who's been suspended a bunch of times, or Antonio Brown, who's being a misfit with the Raiders and just kind of fell in their laps. It's not like the Patriots planned for it. Antonio Brown just kind of fell in their laps. And then Sanu, they way overpaid for him with a second-round pick that they now don't have in this year's draft. But there are a lot of good receiving options, depending how much you want to pay. Everyone says this is a tremendous year in the draft for these wide receivers, but I wouldn't go that route. I mean, you saw it last year. The rookie receivers were having a great season across the board, except for the one guy the Patriots got, N'Keal Harry. I don't think that's because he's a bust, but I just think Brady and the Patriots' offense is so difficult for those young receivers. So I would look for a veteran guy, and, you know, we'll see if A.J. Green becomes available. The Bengals might end up, you know, franchising him or whatever. I think Odell Beckham's going to be available via trade. That's expensive, though. It's going to be like a $16 million salary, and it might cost the Patriots the 23rd overall draft pick. The guy I would want is Emmanuel Sanders. I still think he's got good football left. He did a nice job of integrating himself into the Niners offense last year on the fly when they picked him up. The Patriots have long had their eye on Emmanuel Sanders. They actually signed him as a restricted free agent several years ago, but then the Steelers matched the offer. And I just think he's a little more cost effective. He's definitely older, but I think has good football left in him. You do Emmanuel Sanders, Mohamed Sanu, Julian Edelman, and N'Keal Harry. I think that's a pretty good top four. So, to me, Emmanuel Sanders is a more cost-effective option. I think he would look great with the Patriots.
All right, last thing. Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. Dak and his agent met with the Cowboys on Wednesday. We're told that the Cowboys have been at $33 million. This feels super close. When does it get done?
Certainly. Well, they're going to – I mean, they'll have to put the tag on him, and then that gives them until July. So – I mean, I assume they're operating. The starting point for the negotiation is, okay, if we tag you once, it'll be 33, and then a second tag would be like 37 or whatever it is. So what's that, $70 million over 2 years?
Right.
That's what you're going to get if we just tagged you twice. So that's probably where the negotiations start. You know, a lot of times when both sides know that the threat of the tag is there, then they work to, you know, an agreement sooner. But we've seen it before where the team says, all right, fine, we'll just put the tag on you, and that buys us some time because then we have until July to come with a long-term deal. So I don't have a crystal ball on that one. I wish I had a better answer. It could be obviously very, very soon, or this thing could drag out until July. But he's not going anywhere. He's going to be a Dallas Cowboy.
I agree. Ben Volen, Boston Globe, does a great job, not just covering the Pats, the entire National Football League. Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Doug.